Sure, Foss Loud on Triple J. A lot of dispute right there. Fulton Street 2. The band is currently halfway through a 15-date Australian tour and kidnapping just for a moment Jordan from a lot of dispute to have a chat on this bright and early morning. My friend, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, and I would like it to be known that I came here of my own volition. No kidnapping needed.
That's right, you did indeed.
I'm happy to be here.
As I said, nearing the halfway point of a 15-date Australian tour. How has the tour been so far?
It's been really, really good. It's been fun to be here in a proper capacity. The last time we came, it was a sort of truncated festival trip, so it's good to be here and be playing some more intimate spaces in some different cities and seeing some old friends. And it's been very casual because we've been doing, a couple shows in every area, so it's nice to not always be only seeing airports and the view from a bus window.
Was it your request to play this many shows, or was this kind of pitched to you as an idea?
No, we love to be here, and we have kind of a special kinship with Australia. It's the first place that we ever went that wasn't North America. We skipped Europe and went straight to Australia like 10 years ago. So that's a pretty, that first tour, those first couple tours were pretty important to us still. So we've wanted to come back for a while and just haven't been able to with other things going on in life. So we didn't want to just come back and play, the East Coast and the capital cities. We wanted to come back and spend as much time as we could and do closer to a proper Australian tour. Not technically a full Australian tour because there's a lot of other places to go, but we wanted to come and give more people the opportunity to come see us and play some more shows than we have in a little bit.
No, that's sick. That is sick. And you're here in support of your latest album, Panorama. And from everything that I've read, it wasn't the easiest album to make in the scheme of making an album. But now that it's released and it's had some time to settle and the songs have been had some time to play live. In terms of that saying, the distance makes the heart grow fonder. How does the release and the live performance of the new songs change your perception of the struggles?
Sure. excuse me. It's a strange thing. It really is. You do require some distance to be able to properly evaluate and learn from the songs, learn what they mean to you, I guess. We had some obstacles logistically to overcome and some technical difficulties along the way, but I think that made the process all the more fulfilling, truthfully. I think having to power through presents additional challenges than the ones you put in place intentionally to change the end product. So having gotten through them was really rewarding and sort of made the songs what they ended up being. But having said that, it does take some time, you spend so much time working on something and it is simultaneously the most fulfilling thing and the most maddening and frustrating thing in the entire world. You love and you hate it the entire time. I think that's sort of just the nature of doing a thing that you love. It requires you to work, and work is not always the easiest thing. The whole time you're struggling with it, and then when the record comes out, or when you even get from one stage to the next stage, when you're when I'm finally done tracking vocals, I don't want to listen to it at all for a while. And in that moment, you're like, I don't think I ever want to listen to these songs again. And then you finish the next step, and eventually you get to a point where you're separated enough from how difficult it was that you can go back and enjoy them more or less as just a listener.
So
getting to that point was really satisfying, and being able to then unclouded hear them and realize you're proud of them is really special. And then you start the process all the way over again when you start to rehearse them to play them live. And we finally got to the point, I think, the last little run of dates we did in the US and in Europe, where you're not thinking about what you have to do to play them. You're just playing them, and you're seeing people become more familiar with them and engage more with them. And it's been a really cool process to get to that point again where you just can play the songs and love doing that with your friends. And you can also see the way that people are like beginning to attach themselves to the subject matter and to the music.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of the subject matter, you know, the name Panorama, I think, really sums up at least my understanding of the album almost perfectly. Like, you know, the literal definition, you know, is a wide-angled photograph of a scene, you know, that yeah. brings in more than a standard photograph. And this album deals with a lot of the, for lack of a better term, spectator of another person's tragedy. And I guess from that point, my question would be is, how did you manage to walk the fine line between making the lyrics personal while not making someone else's tragedy your own?
Yeah, it's a very good question. It was not an easy thing, and I think that's part of what made the process so difficult for me personally, because you want to be respectful of another person's story, and of, in particular, another person's tragedy or difficult story. So I spent a lot of time hemming and hawing and editing and re-editing, trying to make certain that I was being true to that person's story without exploiting it. And then there's the other difficult thing, which is you want to talk about, I mean, for me, throughout, like since the beginning of our band, there are kind of two parallel currents for me as a writer where I've told a lot of other people's stories, and that's something that I've always been drawn to and feel somewhat at least proficient in. But also, there's a lot of how those stories attach to me personally. So trying to find a way to like pull, especially with somebody who, like telling the story of somebody who is very close to me as opposed to somebody who I'm more detached from. You want to be reverent, but you also are affected in that way. And I think that's also a relevant story to tell. So I guess, I don't know, I'm rambling, but...
No, it's a fair answer, though. Like, yeah. It is a very difficult line to walk. It's like,
as a
listener, that's the kind of thing. It doesn't seem like you're overly saying, you know, this is my tragedy. It's like, this is a tragedy that exists.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there is a defined line between the two of them.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, like, you want to... The thing to me that, and part of what the title Panorama was, like you said, it's a wide angle shot of a whole, you know, of something. And in this particular instance, it was a collection of tragedies that directly or close to directly affected somebody in very close proximity to me. But what felt relevant to discuss was how that also reverberates outward through a community and how that affects different people in a specific time, but also continually as time progresses. So it was sort of a snapshot, a wide-angled snapshot of a situation, but also of time elapsing in a person's life and two people's life.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, well, we're going to go to a song now, and then I'm going to dig into something a little bit more about what you said. We're going to go to Road and Night and Grief right now. Would you tell us a little bit about the song as we go into it?
Sure. Pardon me while I clear my throat 19 times. This is the most I haven't talked very much today. I need at least 3 conversations to not have a frog in my throat. Road Night and Grief is about somebody suffering from dementia and how that affects another person in their life. And it sort of exists in 2 scenes, one of which being at a convalescent home at the beginning, and me watching how that situation was affecting a loved one, a partner. And then the second part kind of contextualizes that in both of our lives, and is a quiet scene at home where somebody is studying and the other person is peacefully existing with them. So it's kind of about loss and grief and the mechanisms by which we cope, how that kind of affects our own personal trajectories.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Jordan.
Of course.
You're on Triple Fuss Loud on Triple J. We've got Jordan from Loud Dispute in the studio having a chat. This track right here is called Road Night and Grief. Mm-hmm. Sure, Fuss Loud on Triple J. Rhode Knight and Grief right there. Jordan from La Dispute taking some time out halfway through their Australian tour to have a chat about the writing process. And Jordan, you mentioned something earlier, you know, talking about something you feel that you're quote unquote somewhat proficient in. I'd call you more than somewhat, but you know, these are your words. is writing the story of the spectator, which if there is any sort of common thread in La Dispute, it's that. I mean, you could look at tracks like Edward Burns and King Park are the two probably obvious examples of sure. this. And you said that you were, you know, you found yourself very drawn to this particular style. Do you know where that comes from? What draws you to that particular style?
That's a very good question. I think that I've always had two loves since I was young, and it was listening to music and reading fiction. So I think part of it is the synthesis of those two passions, where I've always been drawn to characters and I've always been drawn to building narratives and what I consume as a lover of art. So I sort of think that I fell into it because of those two dual passions, but I don't know. I think people are fascinating. I think life is very difficult, and I think it's important to look at stories for guidance and to evaluate what they mean, why we connect to them emotionally, and it's sort of, kind of. I think it's a way to make sense of existing.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, you've sort of answered my next question there, but I want to dive a little bit deeper, because I asked you earlier, you know, how do you remove, you know, for lack of a better term, how do you remove the ego from this story? But, you know, maybe to ask you to put your ego back into it, what do you feel is it that you personally get out of writing stories this way? Like what have you discovered about yourself by doing this?
I don't know. I think that it's a very tactile thing for me. Like, I get a certain thrill out of creating a story. So in some sense, it is purely to satisfy a personal whim.
Fair.
You know, I think I love to craft sentences, and I love the limitations that doing so in a song presents. And I love trying to create something that is emotionally affecting. But I don't know. I think that it's important to contextualize your own struggles in some way. I think that a common thread throughout the history of our band is trying to reckon with my own hang-ups with my life, or with, you know, my own unhappinesses, my own struggles, and to kind of like put myself in the company of others. And I think that maybe in some ways that's what people gravitate towards too, is that it does the same for them, maybe, you know. I think we have a way of suffering silently through the, not just like the big tragic events of every day, but also just the general stresses and anxieties and the general dread of being born into a world that is hard. And it's important to, I think, understand that it's hard for a lot of people. And then the indirect thing, the indirect consequence of that is I think provides a blueprint for how to cope too, to build a community and to have a family, you know.
Yeah.
So it's sort of multi-layered.
I dig that. And I guess the only question left is, you know, you said just before you're a big fan of fiction. Is there any thought of, you know, turning something you've done into a book, into a proper story? Is that something you'd like to do?
I would love to do that at some point in time in my life. I would have to master a whole different discipline. So I have no imminent plans. I am a long ways from being capable of doing so. But I do love to write, and I think that at some point in my life, maybe I'll give it a go. But it's hard. I mean, like, I feel like I've spent, you know, I love what I do with my bandmates. I love live performance and I love writing songs with them. I still get a lot out of that. And I think that I'm still learning how to be good at that. You know, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I'm happy with where I'm at, but I think there's a long ways to go. So I'm focused presently on trying to continually honing that craft. And then maybe one day I'm definitely that person who, like, especially, I don't know, it's so silly.
Go on.
But I feel like when I was, like, younger, you start to have that sort of panic where you're like, oh, shit, like, I meant to be here in my life at this point in time. And then you learn kind of to push that out of your head and to be satisfied with the present and what you've accomplished and everything. And then I'm, like, just at the point again where I'm like, oh, shit. Like, there's so much more I want to do. So I'm like, I don't know what the point of this last tangent was.
Well,
but
I'm sorry if I've created some sort of, like, you know, existential dread.
No, it's a good thing, though. I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be, like, looking toward the next thing and to continually be pushing your own personal boundaries and working at a new thing. And all of my bandmates are very inspiring in that respect because they all do that. They all have things that they work towards and outside of the band and in conjunction with the band. And I think that's super admirable. And so, yeah, I'm, like, starting to think again, you know, maybe it's time I start figuring out if there's a way I can learn how to write for a living. I don't know.
You heard it here
it's
first.
Hard.
I'm sure fast loud.
Writing is hard.
Now. Writing's very
Writing's
hard.
So hard. I have the most respect for people who write fiction, for people who can flesh out a narrative over 500 pages, and the amount of time and effort it requires to do so is, like, that's like climbing Everest to me. So I'm going to try with a smaller summit before I 100%. Attempt to scale the one that might kill me.
We could go down an epic tangent of, like, talking about fiction right now, but we have to stay on the punk rock. We can talk punk about rock. Fiction later.
Yeah.
Jordan, thank you so much for taking the time to come
thank
in
you.
And have a chat.
It's really fun.
I really appreciate it. We're gonna lead out with a track called Anxiety Panorama right now. Would you tell us a little bit about this song as we say goodbye?
Sure. Anxiety Panorama is one of the more punk songs on our new record. It was an interesting one to write, because I felt like there needed to be a particular track in a particular place. And we, in order to accomplish that, kind of pieced it together from two demos, one that our drummer made and of just him playing, and then another one of our guitar player, Chad, who had cut up the drum beat that Brad made. And we sort of used that as a groundwork. So it was kind of a different process than anything we've ever done before, which was really fun. And then lyrically, it's probably the song on the record that most talks about what you brought up earlier about, like, being a spectator to someone else's struggles and trying to maybe to be an effective spectator, I think, in a way, in real time. It's hard sometimes to know what to do in a situation where somebody is struggling. So it's about kind of reckoning with your role in that situation.
Nice. Yeah. Jordan, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
This is really fun.
My pleasure. You're in Show Fast Loud. This is Let Us Feud, Anxiety Panorama.
You pray for distance. I never change.